Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 1. Then I'm going to ask you to do something else for some of you, because I'm going to give you an overview of a lot of the Old Testament. So if you want to, if you go back to the front of your Bible where you have the books of the Bible listed, you might want to put a marker there and come back to it. I'll tell you when, but some of you might want to mark in on that page so that it's a lot easier to catch some of the things that I'm going to say tonight. We'll call it the Book of Index, amen? the Book of Contents. But Daniel chapter 1, I am going to introduce the Book of Daniel, but in order to do so, I've got to lay a pretty big foundation. Tonight, we're just going to touch the first two verses. I am not going to be expository, but I have to lay a foundation for you to even understand why the book of Daniel is what it is, where it is, historically, everything else, so that it makes sense. It'll also help about two-thirds of the Old Testament and part of the New Testament come together for you. The whole Bible is going to make a whole lot more sense to you if you'll just pay attention tonight, and I think I can help you. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, we're going to stop there, and honestly, we're going to focus on verse number 1. Let me tell you what's happened here. Much of, and look at me if you will, because this is, if you miss this, all of this is not going to make a whole lot of sense to you. Much of the Old Testament centers around a 70-year period. Most of the Old Testament centers around 70 years. It's either getting ready for that 70 years, during that 70 years, or the rebuilding after that 70 years. Now, let me help you with something here. God is about to judge the nation of Israel. He's about to let King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, come in, destroy, level Jerusalem. You'll find out later that they destroyed it so badly that there was not one stone left built upon another. Imagine them coming to this area, in every building, every house, every building, there was not one stone left upon another. That's what the Babylonians did to Israel, especially Jerusalem. Now, why this kind of judgment? Because for 490 years, the Jews did not observe the Sabbath year. For nearly 500 years, the Jews ignored the Sabbath. They were ignoring not just the weekly Sabbath, but every seventh year there was to be what they called the Sabbath year. They were to let the land lay rest. They were not to plant, that type of thing. And I'll show you these things in a little while here. But God sent preachers for 490 years preaching, repent or judgment's coming. Change your ways. Go back to what I said. By the way, God is very patient. But when he strikes, there's no going back. By the way, do you remember when the disciples asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Jesus said, no, seven times 70. 490 times. God forgave 490 times, but when they wouldn't change, God said, it's over. Now, they were preaching, repent, turn back, or destruction's coming. In 490 years, the Jews missed 70 Sabbath years. There were 70 Sabbath years that were missed in those 490 years. And God said, I'm going to get the Sabbath years back. So you're going to be overtaken, and the land of Israel will lie at rest for 70 years. And that's what this is all about. By the way, they were going to lose their nation for 70 years. They were going to go into bondage. They were going to be under the leadership and rule, and many of them would be brought out of the land of Israel totally. And they would be under the leadership of other nations, eventually between 4 and 5 different nations, depending on how you look at this. God was not, by the way, God was not going to be sorry for their judgment. God did not feel bad about this. Say, why? Because for 490 years, he was trying to get them to change and they wouldn't do it. And he said, I have given you plenty of chance. It's too late. Here it comes. I've warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you. For 490 years I have warned you. You've missed 70 Sabbath years. Judgment's coming. Now, that would be like, you have to understand, 490 years. You'd have to go back to the year 1532. That's only 40 years after Christopher Columbus landed in North America. So from the time of Columbus virtually till now, that's how long the Jews had been missing the Sabbath years. Don't you think God was a little patient? That's a long time. Now, what was the Sabbath year? Take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus number 25, chapter 25. We're going to look at verse number 1. Leviticus 25, verse number 1. Oh, please hurry, because I'm going to read fast. I've got a couple other places here that I want to show you. Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 1. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Here we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyards, and gather the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for thy beasts that are in the land, and shall all the increase thereof be meat. In other words, listen to me carefully. God said, you make your living every 6 years. Store up enough for that 7th year, and then whatever your land produces on its own for the 7th year, your workers get to harvest that, and your animals get to eat that, and the strangers can come and harvest it for their profit, but you're not to take profit from it. In other words, missing 70 of these meant the Jews were pocketing more money than God wanted them to have. They were stealing from God. It was to lay rest. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Kings, Chronicles. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. About the last chapter, I believe. if not pretty close to it. It is the last chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, look at verse number 21. Now, I want you to see something here, and then I'll show you what this is talking about. Now, everybody look at me. The way the Bible is arranged doesn't mean everything came in the order that it's written in. Now, Genesis was first, but there are events in Chronicles that you'll see in other books of the Bible because they were happening at the same time. Now, watch this. 2 Chronicles 36, look at verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of whom? Oh, Jeremiah. Is there a book in the Bible called Jeremiah? Yes, there is. So watch this. Jeremiah was a prophet. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Look at me. 70. A score is how many? 20. 3 times 20 is? Plus 10? 70. 70 years. Now, some of you just learned what a score was. And it was not the football score. Amen? Right, Mrs. Lopez? Jeremiah chapter 25. I picked on Miss Kim enough. Go to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. We're going to see what Jeremiah said that was recorded in 2 Chronicles. Jeremiah chapter 25. Look at verse number 8. Jeremiah 25, verse number 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and what's this guy's name? Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember reading that in Daniel chapter 1? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon, how many years? 70 years. And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans will make it a perpetual desolations. Now, 3 times here, and I'm not going to take time to turn, but you could go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. Ah, you're there. Just turn over a few pages. Jeremiah 29, I forgot where we were. Look at verse number 10. Jeremiah 29, look at verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Now look at me. God said, look, I'm going to whoop the fire out of you, but just know it's going to end. It's going to take 70 years, but it will end. It will not be forever. He said, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm going to judge you, and it's going to happen for 70 years, but know this, afterwards, you'll go back and rebuild. It will end. But notice, 70 years. Now notice, we were in Jeremiah, we were in 2 Chronicles, and all these things are overlaying each other. Now, here we go. This was a matter of letting the land rest and people not being too greedy. It's similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar or akin to what we would call tithing. There is a portion that belongs to the Lord. And if we don't give it, he's going to get it through another way. That's the only way to say it. You'll pay it one way or the other. I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for you to obey God for your sake. Now, go to your book of index and put your finger there. And I'm going to help you. Matter of fact, just open it and leave it there. You won't need to be in Daniel right now. We'll come back to the book of Daniel. Now, if you, by the way, it's not sinful to write in your Bible. Okay, promise you. This is, I'm gonna give you three things here, but you're going to need that table of contents, the books of the Bible list, whatever you want to call it. And if you'll look at me, I'm going to help you with something. Much of the Old Testament, many of the books of the Bible pointed to what we'll call the pre-exile or the pre-judgment. That was the 490 years God was warning them. You have some books of the Bible that were written during that 70 years. Then you have other books of the Bible that were written after that for the rebuilding afterwards. I'm going to show you which books of the Bible are what you can write the word pre. You can write the word ex for exile. And then you can write the word post for those that are after. Does that make sense to everybody? Or before, during, and after. I don't care. But let me give you the books of the Bible and the prophets who prophesied before looking towards that judgment. Are you ready? The book of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied the destruction of the nation of Israel if they did not change. You had the book of Jeremiah, chapters 1 through 38, that were before. Okay, chapter 39 through 52 was during. Jeremiah was the only one that preached before and during. Okay, so you have chapters 1 through 38 of the book of Jeremiah before, chapter 39 through 52 during. The book of Hosea was before. The book of Amos, not Andy. The book of Amos was before. The book of Jonah was before. The book of Micah was before. The book of Nahum was before. And the book of Zephaniah was before. So let me list those again. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 1 through 38. Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Zephaniah, not Zechariah, Zephaniah. Those books of the Bible all pointed to, and the preachers were preaching, change your ways or God is going to bring destruction. Okay, everybody understand that part? So those were before. Let me give you the books of Bible during that exile. Okay. You have the book of Jeremiah, chapters 39 through 52. Then you have the book of Lamentations. Not lemons, Lamentations. You have the book of Ezekiel. And you have the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel was written during that 70-year period. Do you remember? Nebuchadnezzar, verse number 1, came from Babylon and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the land thereabout. Now, here are the books that were after. You have the book of Ezra. That's before the, right after the book of Kings and Chronicles. You have to go back in the table of contents a little farther back. Book of Nehemiah, right after the book of Ezra. You have the book of Obadiah, Joel, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Those were all books of the Bible after, in the rebuilding after that 70 years. Okay? Let me do that again. Ezra, Nehemiah, Obadiah, Joel, Haggai, Habakkuk, Zechariah, and Malachi. Everybody got that? Those are your prophets and how they worked and the books of the Bible. You see how, by the way, much of this was taking place. Now, look at me for a second. Much of this is taking place. Do you remember when God said he would divide the kingdom after Solomon? From that point on, the kings of Israel and Judah. Israel was the northern kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom, but it was all Israel. Okay? Now watch this. That dividing of the kingdom brought forth the evil kings, which led the Jews into idolatry and not keeping the Sabbath. So much of the books of, part of the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles intertwines with all of these prophets. That's why you saw in 2 Chronicles 36 him talking about Jeremiah. You see, Kings and Chronicles are historical books showing you the broad history of Israel and Judah. It's not covering just one certain period of time. It's all these kings, and the events going one after the other. And you can follow those kings throughout these other books of the Bible, preaching towards, during, or afterwards. So now you have the books of Kings and Chronicles that are coming into play here, as well as all the books of the Bible we just talked about. But it's all about this 70-year period. Either change or I'm bringing judgment because you failed to keep the Sabbath year 70 times in 490 years. Now, everybody doing okay? Go back to Daniel chapter 1. You're done with the book of the table of contents. That will help you in future Bible reading and Bible study, I promise you. It was the easiest way for me to get it to you and make it understandable for you. Okay? If you don't understand it, see Mrs. Barnes and she'll explain it. All right? But see her during business hours, not at church. All right? Now, look at Daniel chapter 1 again. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. If you want to write in your Bible, and I know Schofield Bibles and other Bibles, you have some dates there. Most of these guys are way off in their dating. This happened in 586 BC. We know what year it was because we know what year Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, and it was 586. Some of your Bibles will say 607. How many of your Bible says 607? All right, a few of you. Some of that is because there was a besieging of Jerusalem 20 years before then, but it was not by Nebuchadnezzar. They missed it, just so you know. So we know that this took place in 586. Now, remember, the numbers B.C., they go down as you get closer to the time of Christ, correct? The bigger the number, the farther away from Christ it is. It's the exact opposite is ours right now. So that means 70 years later would be the year 516. We know that it ended in 516. So that 70-year period lasts from 586 to 516, just so you know. Okay? That'll help you if you understand anything about world history. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 22. Everybody doing all right? I know I'm giving you a lot of facts. I'll get to the practical stuff here in just a minute. I told you I got to lay a foundation. Okay? And without the foundation, everything's going to fall down on you. You're already going to start understanding the book of Daniel better, knowing what this is all about. But Jeremiah chapter 22, look at verse number 18. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim. That's the king, remember? That's the last king of Israel or Judah. the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. In other words, Jehoiakim's end isn't going to be real well. He's not going to go down in history as George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. They're not going to build a memorial for him. Go to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. Look at verse number 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjathjearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. In other words, Jehoiakim was trying to kill Jeremiah. He chased them from Israel into Egypt. He got one of them, but he did not get Jeremiah. Sounds like a good king, doesn't it? Sounds kind of like Nancy Pelosi. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Look at verse number 28. Jeremiah chapter 36. Look at verse number 28. Take thee again another roll. Look at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll in the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. In other words, and I'm not going back to, you can read earlier after a while, but Jeremiah had written the Bible on a roll of paper, and Jehoiakim got a hold of it, read it, got so mad that he cut it up with a knife and threw it in the fire and burned it up. So, God says, let's write another. Verse 29. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe and the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned in the fire. And there were added besides them many words, many like words. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 37. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Now we're back to Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, he's coming in to destroy Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was a vile, evil man. And he was the last of the kings of Israel and Judah. By the way, it's all recorded history, not just in the Bible. You can go back through historical accounts of that time and see all of these things. Now, I have 13 minutes. Hang on. I'm going to bring this down to something practical. You now understand that you have a 70-year period of judgment. 490 years before, the Jews aren't keeping the Sabbath year. God's warning them, change your ways or judgment's coming. Change your ways, judgment's coming. They would not change. All those kings would not reinstitute it. And after 490 years, God says, that's it. Then you have the 70 years. During that time, Daniel is on the scene. Then after that, you have many prophets who helped with the rebuilding. You remember Nehemiah rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem? Why did they have to rebuild it? Because it was destroyed 70 years ago by Nebuchadnezzar. Then you had Ezra who came in and rebuilt the people, and they brought the people back in and rebuilt the actual city of Jerusalem. Why? Because they've been laid desolate for 70 years, and this is after they're let go out of Babylon to go back to Israel. Oh yeah, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. Well, why was it torn down? Because of this 70 years. Now, let me help you with something. Why would God use a heathen nation to judge his people? Why would God allow a heathen king to come in and destroy the land of Israel? The Jews had always had problems with false gods. Have you ever noticed the Jewish people throughout history have been worshiping many different things? They worshiped, by the way, before the flood, they were worshiping false gods. You say, how do you know that? Because in the book of Joshua, it said that the gods from the other side of the flood. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. If you choose the gods of the other side of the flood, that means there were false gods on the other side of the flood. So they served false gods then. They were serving false gods then. Did you remember what happened when they left Egypt under Moses and Moses went to Mount Sinai for 40 days? After a little bit of time, they got a little upset and said, Aaron, make us a golden calf and we'll turn that into God. So in the wilderness, they were worshiping false gods. And you could go way, way, way back. They constantly, by the way, for this 490 years, it talks about the groves. Those are like people that prayed to trees. Green people. They had them back then. The PETA people, amen? They had the climate change people then. You had the groves and you had the false gods. You had all these kinds of things that they would pray to, the stars and all these weird things. Can I tell you something? The Jews constantly were breaking. Now watch this. We're studying this in Sunday school right now. The Ten Commandments. Civil law. Not spiritual law. Civil law. What is one of the Ten Commandments? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That was not a spiritual law. Did you know you could break every one of the Ten Commandments, be saved and go to heaven? You could keep all of the Ten Commandments, never break one of them, and die and go to hell. Because the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with going to heaven. Nothing at all. Never has, never will be. It was the constitution for the Jewish people while they were in the wilderness. And he said, if you'll establish it now, when you get into the land, I want you to use these Ten Commandments to set up the government for my people. Why did we post the Ten Commandments at the courthouse? Because it's civil law. It is not spiritual law. But it will say this. Now watch this. Not keeping the Sabbath goes with having false gods because it's a violation of the same civil law. When you stop observing the Sabbath, you are becoming your own God. And you'll search for other gods. They did not want to listen to God by observing the Sabbath. They wanted more wealth for themselves. They wanted more stuff for themselves and said, God, we don't need you. By the way, that's dangerous. God, listen to this very carefully here. God used a foreign civil government to judge his people who would not run God's people as he wanted them to be run civilly. In other words, civil disobedience was just as spiritual as it was moral. Did you know that the farther we get away from our Constitution, the farther away we get from God spiritually? I made this statement Sunday night. 40 years ago, when people got saved, they had an understanding of church. Some of you old timers don't understand this, but people in this room, 40 years old and under, have very little idea what church is all about. When you got saved, even lost people had a sense of what church was and God. Anybody over the age of 50, how many of you remember on, I know many of us are, but how many of you remember on Fridays, especially during Lent, that the public schools serve fish on Friday? How many of y'all, now look around all of you young people, all right? We all remember that. That's foreign to you all. The lost world did that. I always hated it. There's nothing worse than the smell of dirty kids and fish at a school. The only thing worse is if it's raining and they're all wet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, school buildings just have a different odor. Kind of like dirty feet and dirty kids rolled together, you know? Then you throw fish on top of that and thank God I can't smell anymore. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand something. Why is it then that foreign governments are now starting to control the American people? Because God is allowing justice to take place. We have disobeyed him civilly, and we're chasing other gods. God's justice requires punishment in the area of offense. They violated him civilly. He will punish them civilly. But may I say something? Spirituality and civility go together. Listen to this statement. You don't see a bunch of soul-winning Baptists out there burning buildings down. You don't see a bunch of Christians out there protesting and burning buildings down and throwing rocks and killing police officers. It is the lawbreakers who in turn destroy the spirituality of a nation. Our forefathers said our laws will only work for a moral and spiritual people. Why did they say that? We had the history of the Word of God to prove it. And as the nation of Israel disobeyed God for almost 500 years, they did not keep the Sabbath 70 times in 490 years. God said, okay, you broke my law civilly. I am going to judge you civilly. I'm going to annihilate the land of Israel. I'll let a foreign government come in, take the best of everything. Matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar went into the temple, took all the gold and all the silver and all the instruments and all the cups and things, took them back to the palace, and he used them at the palace and in the worship of false gods. Oh, that's horrible, preacher. How much horrible was it than the Jews not using it for 490 years? God's justice required to punish in the area of offense. Now, America needs to take notice. We better get back to God. By the way, the only hope America has is revival and voting correctly. And it's going to take both, not just one. You can vote for all the Republicans you want, but if we don't get back to God, it's still going to go down the tubes fast. It may not go as quickly, but it's still going to go down. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Watch this. Same book where he quoted Jeremiah. That was in reference to his people turning from their ways and keeping the Sabbath so that they did not go into judgment. The principle applies to America too. Now, the book of Daniel. I have 1 minute. The book of Daniel is the very beginning of this 70-year period of judgment. Let me give you a quick preface. It'll introduce next week's lesson. Nebuchadnezzar takes the best, the most skilled people, the highest intelligent, the young people who were very wise in sciences and math and languages. He brings them on board in Babylon and trains them in the Babylonian government and the Babylonian language so that these Jewish young people and leaders can lead the Jews that are captive in the way of Babylon. Very much like what we were doing in World War II in the rebuilding of Europe and Germany. One of the reasons they got mad at Patton because they said, well, you're employing people that are Nazis. He said, there's not anybody that's still alive that wasn't a Nazi. They all had to be. That's like a Democrat or a Republican in America. That's the statement that got him in trouble. He was right. It was just a political party. He said there are some of these people, they had to be or they lost their life. They didn't agree with it, but these are trained people that know how to run the infrastructure of this nation, and you're going to say they can't help us and you're going to retard the growth of Germany over this? He said, no way. And that's why Patton got in trouble. But that's the kind of thing that we did in the rebuilding of Germany, Japan, other nations that we've gone in and had to rebuild. We took those people under our leadership, trained them. We did it on Iraq, Afghanistan. Trying to train nationals to understand how to protect themselves. Now, Jerusalem is leveled and destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon takes the best and the brightest to help lead the Jews and has taken over. Now watch this. Daniel is one of those best and brightest. He's one of the sharpest of the sharp. And he will lead and learn the Babylonian ways and lead the Jews over the next 70 years during this time of exile. And that's what the book of Daniel is about. Oh, there's some prophecy in it. But that whole book of Daniel And the whole Bible study tonight gets you to the point where you can understand the purpose of the book and how it all fits together in the history of the Bible. Now as you read it, it may make a little bit more sense. We've got to quit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's 8:02. You won't starve to death, I promise. I know we didn't cover a lot of spiritual things, but boy, there's a lot of ground covered.